The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Sunday Irish Racing Preview. We have a good Sunday to look forward to in Ireland this week with the start of the Irish Grand National Meeting at Fairy House. There's also good racing at Cork as well and plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is William Hill's Irish racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, Mark. Very well.
Good. Good stuff. Yeah, the start of the Irish Grand National Meeting at Fairy House. That's what we're going to focus on. And it's a good card to get us underway, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Fantastic handicap for hurdles to contend with, three of them. And then mixed in, we've got the Powers Gold Cup as well, 440. So a good mix. And yeah, should just set the juicy slow for tomorrow's big race.
Yeah, do you have an early opinion on the Irish Grand National?
I do, yeah. I'm quite keen on the Westerner Boy. He snuck in right down the bottom, but I've had him on my radar all year. He's running two hurdle races. It's the typical Irish trainer plot, is to not run a horse in handicap chase to bump his mark up. And it looks as though they've just about got it right. So yeah, he'd be quite interesting, and you know, with the ground drying out, I think, you know, some good ground horses might come to the fore. And Golden Wonder's another one I've got my eye on as well, Desi Hughes' charge. So a lot depends on how the action shapes up this afternoon and how fast the ground is actually going to be, because I don't think there's much rain forecast for tomorrow either.
Okay, good stuff. Just looking for the prices. Golden Wonder currently 16-1, as is the Westerner Boy, so a bit of each way value in there with the first four on offer.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I'll update, obviously, Irish National selections tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we'll get stuck into it in more detail on Monday. But right now, we're going to look at Sunday's card. Competitive racing this afternoon at Fairy House. And the first race is the 240. And we start with a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. And 25 of them in the lineup for this. And Rock the World heads the betting this morning at 11-4. Tulsa Jack is 3-1. 4-1 for Emperor of Exmoor. 11-2 for Easter Hunt. 6-1 Torsif. Shemshal is 10s. 12-1 for Lonan. And Shalom Zara, and then 14-1 or bigger prices. The rest, plenty of them in the lineup for the first one. Andy, what do you like here?
Well, the front two in the market have got similar credentials. They both run at Leopardstown in the same kind of races. The last time we saw Rock the World, he was behind Quick Vic and Stuckador, and Emperor of Exmoor was behind His Love Alive. Two, you know, mediocre run-of-the-mill Leopardstown maiden hurdlers. They certainly weren't top class, but they have produced subsequent winners, and they both ran with a good deal of credit. I thought Rock the World was a bit disappointing out of the two. Must admit, he was a big letdown. He was sent off favourite that day. I actually tipped him on the podcast, and you know, couldn't believe how badly he run. So he's on a bit of a retrieval mission. And if you're backing him, you've just got to hope the better ground will suit him today, because he's some of his best form early on in the season was on a slightly quicker surface to the one he encountered that day. But I was just a bit disappointed the way he faded on that occasion, and I don't like tipping horses who have a little bit of a weak link in their armoury. So I'm going to look towards a horse called Tulsa Jack here from the Noel Mead stable, who caught my eye last time out in a decent race won by Black Spot On. Now, Black Spot On, as we know, podcasters know, has been in good form under both codes, and he won the other day on the flat. Indeed, he runs in the very next race. So I just thought Tulsa Jack came up against one there. It was very tough in a finish. But he didn't certainly disgrace himself. But the good thing about him that day was he travelled really strongly. So his high cruising speed's bound to stand him in good stead in a race like this where not that many can be fancied. I could see Paul Carby just riding a very patient race on him midfield, bringing him through. He's certainly going to be there or thereabouts coming to the last. There's no doubt about that for me. And just whether he gets a job done on the running, and hopefully he won't come up against a horse as tough as Black Spot On was last time out. But the strong travelling Tulsa Jack is my vote in the first race.
Okay, Tulsa Jack then for Andy in the 240. The 310 is the next race on the card, and this is a 2 mile handicap hurdle for 4-year-olds and overrated. 81-2, 1-2-3 that I've not won a hurdle before April the 28th. excuse me. Plenty of them in the lineup for this one as well, Andy. And Blue Hell is the 4-1 favourite this morning. Cassell's Rock 7-1. 8s for Desert Moor Stream. 10s for A Grey Matter. Black Spot On, one that you've already mentioned, is 10-1. King of Oriole, a bit of money for that. 12s into 10s. 11-1 for Hurler and Farmer, and 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. I suppose his favourite's a little bit hard to work out on the Blue Hill because he's only had one start in Ireland. It was in a Grade 2 and he travelled well for much of the race before fading late on. He's been given an opening mark of 119 for handicaps. Is that a little bit lenient, do you think?
Possibly, yeah. We never really know with these juveniles, do we, how well handicapped they are. Only time will tell. And what you've got to say is that this is far removed from what he's been running against. You know, a white-hot handicap in Ireland where there's no quarter asked or given. And I think it's a real tough task, I do, for a four-year-old. Obviously, he's been targeted for one of the festivals at Fairy House or Punchestown. They've decided to come here. But yeah, I just don't like backing horses like that at a short price where there's not much juice left in their price. So I'm going to go with a horse who's really tough as teak and has been progressing quite steadily throughout the year, and that's Philip Fenton's Desert Moor Stream. There's a thumping good each way bet here at 8-1. I'm actually going to make him my nap of the day at the prices. I like sticking in a juicy each way price every now and again, and he ticks a lot of boxes really. He's finally won a race, which is good. You know, you could argue beforehand he was getting a little bit of a twice, and you know, he wasn't getting his head in front. Second to Dalian and Sizing Granite suggested that maybe he's one of those horses who just doesn't want to win, but he cast that theory to side in ready fashion last time out down in Clonmel, where he travelled remarkably well through that race to win very comfortably in the end. It was a race that was actually marred by Gold Platinum taking the wrong course, but he's subsequently gone on to win down in Wexford the other day, so I think the form's all right. And another noticeable feature about Desert Moor Stream's chances is actually the form of the stable, Philip Fenton. He's had a really good thing of it late. Of course, Desert Moor Stream set the ball rolling in the early part of this month, and then he's won with Patsio, who won a bumper the other day at Limerick. He also won with Drive and Lockie and Ben Lamar down in Tremor the other day, so the yard's absolutely on fire. And you know, the hood seems to just click with him as well. He's had that contraption on for the last 2-3 runs. So at 8-1, I do think Desert Moor Stream's a really good each way bet. I can't see him not being involved in the finish, so let's make him the nap of the day at that price.
Okay, nap of the day then for Andy there. The 3:40 is the next race on the card, and this is the Grade B Easter Festival Handicap Hurdle. It's over 2 miles, and Dane King has been backed in the betting this morning, 8-1 into 11-2 favourite at the time of recording. Sailor's Warn is also, well, is 8-1. Coffee, 9s into 8s. Art of Payroll, 7s out to 9s, a bit on the drift, as is His Apart. And it's 9-1 for Aladdin's Cave. Ali Cascade is 10s, 12s for Steps to Freedom. And then bigger prices, the remaining runners. So a few market moves there, Andy, particularly Dane King this morning. Who do you like for the 3:40?
It's a difficult one for me, this. I'd have to probably have a couple of bets against the field because there's so many in-form horses and horses alike, and they've got some decent figures attached to their name. I think we should mention Dane King, who has done nothing wrong, really, in his four starts. He finally got off the mark the last day when winning in Navan. Prior to that, he was a bit unlucky here over 2 miles in a race that was won by Waxy's Dargo when he made a bad mistake at last. But backing thing was third was Levon Dantan, so I think that form's OK. You can certainly see why Tom Segal's tipped him this morning. His About, of course, he won on his last start. That was at Limerick on the flat, so he comes in good nick, and he was fifth the last time we saw him in the Galway Hurdle. So with the Dermot Well horses flying, you've certainly got to make a case out for His About as well. But I'm going to stay low to Art of Payroll here for one. I thought he ran okay at Aintree. He didn't get the rub of the green that day. He was strongly fancied in that Grade 1-2 race won by Josie's Hill. But, you know, he was up against some very, very high-class horses on that occasion. And he was probably just about found out prior to that. Of course, he'd won a handicap hurdle. And it was a bit of a jump in class, I suppose, more than anything, that you know, meant that he came up a bit short that day. But it still wasn't a bad run in the figures. And I think he's going to go well today. The drying ground is definitely going to be his favour. And the other one to mention as well is Sailor's Worn, a horse who, rather oddly, ran over 7 furlongs on the flat the last time we saw him. That was a really, really strange move. I couldn't quite understand what Edward O'Grady was thinking that day, but I think he just probably wanted to keep an edge on this horse, having won the time before at Leopardstown over 2 mile 2. He's in really good form at the moment, Sailor's Worn, so my two against the field would be those two. I'm quite, you know, strong on, as you can tell in my kind of my descriptions of them, and that's Sailor's Worn and Art of Payroll.
Okay, Sailor's Worn and Art of Payroll, a couple against the field then in that race. Moving on to the 4:10 next, and this is the Irish National Hunt Stallion Owners European Breeders Fund Novice Handicap Hurdle Series Final. Bit of a mouthful, but it's a Grade B handicap hurdle, and it's over 3 miles. And we have 25 of them in the lineup here as well, Andy. And just going through the betting, we have Inform King of Brega at the top of the betting at 4-1. Wounded Warrior is 7-1. Lots of Memories 10s with Off the Charts. 12-1 for Our Man Zebo. Thunder and Roses 14-1 with Wicklow Gold and Ben Mead. It's then 16-1 for Corton Catcher and Upstager, and in fact a whole host of them in there, 16-1 or bigger prices, the remaining runners. So another wide open race at 4:10, Andy. Who'd you like in this one?
Oh, again, another absolutely impossible to call race. The formula of this is always a race where, you know, you look for lots that have been laid out, and you know, several do fit the bill. I'm just a little bit of a loss to see why the King of Braga is such a short price. I certainly think he's got a chance here. He comes in here obviously in good form, and the ground will suit. But this is a massive step up to what he's been achieving at Thurles and Down Rowan. His last two starts, I think 4-1, is verging on a lunatic price. So I'm going to go with a couple much juicier odds. One of them is a horse I really like. I've been waiting for him to run for quite a while. And that's Upstager, who really did impress when he won in Garen last time we saw him. He had a horse called Moonlight Boy. And Moonlight Boy subsequently franked the form with a smooth win down in Limerick last time out. And the time of the race was really good that day. It was certainly in keeping with the handicap hurdle over the same trip that was run on the same card. And I like the fact that Davy Russell, who must have loved him that day, keeps the ride as well. He could have probably ridden several others in this race. It looks as though he's been laid out for this race. Marker 128 doesn't seem too bad. And like I say, well, I like the way he went through that race at Cowan Park. He used his quality. So he's my number one choice Upstage at 16-1. And the other one I probably chuck a few quid at here is Right Down the Middle, who's around about a 20-1 poke this morning. I certainly think he'll outrun his odds at Right Down the Middle. He's been a model of consistency throughout the year. You've had a look at some of the horses he's been running against, the likes of Gil Gimboa, Punchestown, three starts ago. He was a bit unlucky two starts back when he was going really well in a good novice's hurdle won by Thunder and Roses, but he decided to cock his jaw and jink coming to the second last. Why he did that, I do not know. That was just a slight aberration on his part. But he was back to form with a good run in the Grade 2 last time out behind the likes of Lieutenant Colonel Yvonne Danton. Apache Stronghold was in that race and he was only just behind him. So he's been mixing in good company. He's only got a mark of 123, which I think is fair. And I say 16-20-1 for him also represents decent value. So two against the field there at prices, Upstager and Right Down the Middle.
Okay, Upstager and Right Down the Middle, and he's a couple in the field in the 4:10. On to the 4:40 next, and this is the Powers Gold Cup, which is a Grade 1 over 2.5 miles, and the betting looks like this. Bally Casey is 6-4, Rebel Fitz 2-1, 4-1 for Bright New Dawn, and 11-2 for Mazel Tov. Starting with Bally Casey, Andy, he was travelling well at the Cheltenham Festival in the RSA before probably not getting home over 3 miles and 1 furlong, so therefore the drop to 2.5 miles looks as if it'll suit, and he was in good form prior to the festival as well, Andy. So what do you make of Bally Casey at the top of the betting?
Yeah, he was my lay of the meeting actually when I did a lot of the Cheltenham Festival forums. I didn't really fancy him only because of the trip. I think he's a really good horse over 2-2.5 miles. He showed plenty of pace and verve throughout the season, and that win in the Grade 1 at Leopardstown 2 starts ago when he beat Don Cossack and Carlingford Lock was his best career effort. Certainly wasn't the figures as well. Obviously he's very good in a small field when he can dominate, and I think he'll probably do the same again here today, now dropping back to 2.5 miles. I mean, it was a good effort, Charlton, to be fourth, but like I say, his stamina failed him on that occasion. He's a good jumper, he goes a good gallop, and he's an honest type. That said, he's up against three very good horses. He's certainly been no pushover. I'm a big fan of Rebel Fitz, always have been and probably always will be. I just think he might need to jump a little bit better than he did the last time we saw him over fences. For one reason or another, for me, he just didn't take to Charlton when he got beat by Third Intention. He almost jumped a little bit too big and a bit too bold and wasn't very economical with his fencing. Mickey Winters gave him a spin the other day over hurdles at Cork, and that should bring him on. I was amazed he won that day because I thought Tyler had everything in her favour and she fluffed her lines, but Rebel Fitz proved himself on a soft surface, which is something that he doesn't probably like nowadays. But he's got his good ground today, and I think he will jump better on the better ground. But I'm going to have to stick with Bally Casey. He's the figures horse, he's the form horse in a small field. That could be the key today. So Bally Casey gets the vote in the Powers Gold Cup.
Okay, Bally Casey then in the 4:40. On to the 5:10 next, and this is a novice chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and Ned Buntline is the 6-5 favourite this morning. Maloney is 5-2, 4-1 for Road to Riches, 10s for Nearest the Pin, 16s for Golden Brook, and is herself about is the 25-1 outsider. So Ned Buntline fairly short at the top of the betting at 6-5, Andy, but the Hood looks to have done the trick last time. A good second in the Grand Annual last time we saw him, made a bit of a mistake in there which probably ended up costing him his chance, but if he gets around him in without any mistakes this afternoon, is he the one to beat?
He is, yeah. Plain and simply, Ned Buntline's the best horse in the race. So sometimes the best horses don't win because circumstances prevent them from doing so. And I do think Ned Buntline, if he is going to get beat, might get beat by a lack of pace here. He'd certainly want Golan Brook and one or two others to make a good strong gallop for him, because when he got that at Cheltenham in the Grand Annual, that was when he was at his best. I thought it was a really expert ride by Carberry. He delivered him perfectly, but unfortunately, David Russell also did a carbon copy performance on Cervelo, and the two of them fought out the finish. It was one of my strongest times of the festival, handicap-wise. They were in a real good clip, and this horse didn't let supporters down with a massive run. But he's a loin to himself, Ned Buntline. He's chucked a couple of races away before when he's travelled well and rather spat the dummy out. I think the good ground will suit him as well. It's certainly suiting him at Cheltenham. And it's just where the Carberry, like I say, can manufacture things to go his way. If things pan out perfectly, i.e. a strong pace, and he gets a good cruise through, then I see Ned Buntline winning this. But if there is one that might cause a shock, or perhaps you might want to look to back something without the favourite here, and I'd suggest Nearest the Pin will outrun his odds. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute he's going to beat the favourite, Ned Buntline, but I think the better ground will suit Shark Hanlon's charge. He ran in a very good race here last time out in a handicap won by Some Ticket, and I do think the form of that race is really good. Some Ticket that day ran the glass circuit quicker than RV Collisionaire, so I'm mad keen to get with his form. And going down to two out, this horse travelled like the best of the whole field, but unfortunately made a bad mistake, and then his engine rather cut out on the soft ground. But he's back on good ground today. He loves it round Fairy House. He's won here before, don't forget. So I could see him, if not winning, then perhaps finishing second to Ned Buntline. So you could either do a forecast with Ned Buntline or bet without the favourites. I think that could be the best way to approach that 5:10.
Okay, on to the final race of the afternoon then. This is the 5:40, and we finish with a bumper over 2 miles, and Turcagua is the market leader at 5-4, 4-1 for Motown Bob. Barossa Pearl is 6-1, Tycoon Prince 7s, Chasing Waterfalls and Don't Touch It about 10-1. It's then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Turcagua is a Willie Mullins newcomer in the Richie colours, bought from France for €130,000, related to 3 winners in France, Andy, and been with these connections and well back to the top of the betting. What do you make of the Willie Mullins runner?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, this race? I've just basically gone on the comments in the Racing Post today, and by the looks of it, Turcagua looks a horse of some potential. Looking at what Susanna Ritchie says, or Willie Mullins says in the Racing Post today, he's a chasing type. They're just a little bit worried about the ground because he's by Turgeon, but because it's such a big prize, i.e. €57,000, they're going to let him take his chance. Whether time will tell he's a Grade 1 horse, we'll only know after today. The market seems very confident with him running a big race this morning. One or two firms have already chopped him. And with very little to go on, you'd probably have to stick with a Rich Ritchie stroke Willie Mullins trained horse in a race like this. It's interesting as well, this race has gone some decent horses down the way. The Liquidator fought the finish out with another good horse in this race 2 years ago. So I think it's Clondor Kempfer. So, you know, those two have gone on to be 145 rated hurdlers. So this could be quite an informative race for the future. I'll stick with the aforementioned Willie Mullins train horse. I'm not even going to try and say it again, in the hope that he proves up to the mark.
Okay, good stuff. I'm afraid you might have to say it again now, though, because I'm going to ask you for a summary of your selections at Fairy House.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah. Well, start off with the first race. Quite keen on Tulsa Jack there. The second race, Desimore Stream gets the nap vote at 8-1. I think he's a good each-way bet. 2 against the field in the 3:40, Art of Payroll and Sailor's Worn. In the 4:10, again, 2 against the field, Upstager and right down the middle. Bally Casey in the 4:40 in the Powers Gold Cup. I think he'll win. Nearest the Pin is probably the value against Ned Buntline in the last. And Turcagua, there we go, in the 5:40. in the final race.
Beautifully done. Nice one, Andy. Thank you very much. Are you going to Fairhurst this
week? I am, yeah. I'm going there today, so I'll be there for the Irish National tomorrow, so I'll report in the morning.
Good stuff. Well, thank you very much, Andy. Enjoy it at Fairhurst.
Thanks, mate. Will do. Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.